It just struck me here when I was reading the gospel there. One thing I learned in Bible college is don't speed read the scriptures. Because when you speed read the scriptures, you can miss so many revelations in there. And it just struck me when I was reading on Matthew 28, the Great Commission, if we can get it up, Seamus. And this is the Great Commission. Now watch this. The 11 disciples set out for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. When they saw him, they fell down before him. Watch the next few words. Though some hesitated. My Bible says some doubted him. These are disciples. They're heading towards the Mount of Ascension. Some fell down and they get it. This is the Master. He's ready to ascend. We're just about to get this Great Commission, but some hesitated. That's where many people are today. And when Father Jeremy's talking about the Great Commission, the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. Because many people are not doing what the Master told us to do, was to go, make, baptize, and teach. Amen? Amen. Some hesitated. And as Father Jerry said, we spent all day yesterday with 20 missionary disciples. And we cast the vision again, and it's challenging and it's strong. It's getting to another level. You've heard me saying before, when Father Jerry stands up, we stand up with him, like the early apostles. When Peter stood up, the 11 stood up with him. Many people today are hesitating. We don't want to go too far. This is getting a bit serious now. I have to be here every week. I have to be totally committed, and I have to be doing this, and I have to be doing that. Yes, that's discipleship. And that's what Jesus was taking them a bit further. And within Jesus' own group, he had Peter, James, and John. Intimates. You've heard me saying this before. God has no favorites, but he has intimates. People who spend that extra time with him will be drawing closer to him. And this is what the Lord is looking for today. Disciples. Disciplined ones. The Greek word mathetes means one who learns instruction from another. But the sad reality is most Catholics today are not disciples. They're not. They're hesitating. They're doubting. Remember in John chapter 6, the great Eucharistic teaching, when Jesus says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will live forever, because my flesh is real flesh and my blood is real blood. This is too much. This is hard teaching, they said. This is too much. And the Bible goes on to say, and many of his disciples left him that day. These were believers. This is hard teaching. We have heard that from people who no longer come here. This is hard teaching. That Terry Quinn fella. And Father Jerry, this is too strong. We just want to have a nice, wee, cozy, comfortable time. We don't want to be challenged about reaching the lost. And that's why you've heard me say this so many times before. This service is not just about devotion. My goodness, did we have incredible devotion there? We've had the Eucharist, we've had powerful praise and worship. But it's more than that. It's go, make, baptize, and teach. That's what God called us to do. Many are hesitating. They don't want to become disciples. Do you know the Bible says in the last times, the last days, many, many people will not put up with sound doctrine. They won't want to hear sound doctrine, but they'll go to those teachers who tickle their ears, the scripture says. Some of them make them feel good. Some of them won't challenge them with the gospel. or confront them with the gospel, or correct them with the gospel. This is too much. I don't want this kind of Christianity. We were blessed last week, brothers and sisters, to have Ralph Martin and Peter Herbeck in our midst. Prophets of God in our midst. And we were there from Thursday, Wednesday, I took them straight from the airport to a leadership meeting in Dublin. And then the clergy conference here, and it was a strong message. It's the gospel. It's salvation. It's a narrow road. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. I warned you, remember I told you the week before, when Ralph comes, he'll mention Matthew 7. He'll mention it again, and he did. Do you remember, for those of you who were there, when I was teaching on Schindler's List, remember we showed the video? So moving, wasn't it? Sorry, just one more. Just one. I didn't do enough. Remember, it says, I didn't do, and he collapsed. And all the people got round about him. I didn't do enough. Do you know what struck me after I did that teaching? Ralph comes up here right away and goes straight back into the gospel. He brings it straight back into the gospel again. And he said Schindler did that to save people from a physical death. Are we saving people from a spiritual death? That's the gospel. That's the call in every person's life here, is to save people from a spiritual death. I want to share a scripture with you, and I want to read it. And maybe, Joan, could you give me the remote control, the mobile microphone? Joan, maybe you could read this for me. Matthew 25. Can you get Matthew 25? This is going to be very sobering, my friends, but we'll finish with some praise and worship, okay? Right, I want you to read Matthew chapter 25, if you can get that up for me, Seamus. And just let the word speak. And this is just a follow-up for what Ralph said. And you know, even within the clergy conference, some of our clergy were struggling. They were struggling with Ralph's talk. And Ralph just said, this is just the gospel. I'm just telling you what the master told us to do. This is serious. And for many Catholics, it's like a club. It's like, it's just another Sunday. No idea about salvation and the importance of surrender life to Christ. And many, many people are still missing it. Matthew 25. Can we read that? Joan?
Just Matthew 9.
Matthew 25.
Matthew 25.
Matthew 25. I know there's two scriptures, but Matthew 25, I want you to get that up. This is the parable of the talents. Can we just read this? This is a very sober one. Let the word of God minister to you.
For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He who had received the one talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Wow. That's just the gospel. These are strong words. And you know what my text would be today to all of you? Don't be a one-talent Catholic. Don't be a one-talent Catholic. Don't be a do-nothing Catholic. The majority of Catholics are one-talent Catholics. Sad to say. The majority of Catholics are do-nothing Catholics. The majority of Catholics today, and this is prophetic, it's not judgment, it's prophetic, the majority of Catholics today are hesitating. They're doubting. They don't want to go too far here. These guys are taking this too far on a Sunday afternoon. These guys are really disciples, fanatics. That's his strong words. Ralph quoted a book by Peter Kreft, who's a great Catholic theologian, and he said, if you're not disturbed by the words of Jesus, you're not reading the words of Jesus. If you're not being confronted by the words of Jesus, you're not reading the words of Jesus. Don't be a one-talent Catholic. And so many are one-talent Catholics. Don't be challenging me too much. I just want to go to Mass and go, leave me alone. These are strong words. Do you know that laziness is synonymous with wickedness? This is what the scripture says. This is not teriology. This is what the scripture says. Laziness is synonymous with wickedness. And so many are lazy. It's inconvenient. Yeah, it's inconvenient for me. And for Father Jerry, for Helen, for all the team, this is where we get to another level of discipleship. You know, remember the scripture, this young man says, Lord, I want to follow you, but let me first go and bury my father. Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. That sounds so hurtful. It sounds so strong. Does Jesus not care? Jesus was not saying, just let the dead bury the dead, as though the man's father had just died. His father had just not died at all, because that would be going against the law to honor your mother and father. He was going to say, I'll wait a lifetime. I'll wait till my dad's maybe in his 90s, and then I'll follow you. And Jesus said, no, the time is short. And many, many people are hesitating, and they're doubting, and they're swithering between both camps. Laziness and wickedness are synonymous. And I don't know how many people ask, and it breaks my heart. I shared with the team yesterday, I live between my blood being boiled and my heart breaking for the church. And for so many people who don't get it. And even Ralph has been preaching this for 50 years. Do you remember the prophecy in 1975 when everybody was saying, rah, 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 hallelujah, praise the Lord, Hosanna, charismatic renewal is a chance for the church. Pope Paul VI said that. And Ralph stands up and says, there's coming dark days. There's going to come a time of persecution. You're going to get into the desert. That's what it takes to be a disciple. That's where we are as a country. That's where we are. That's outside this room today. People in pubs and bars and restaurants and at your job, at your work, are anti-Christ. They're anti-gospel. Paul VI told us about these things. The Evangelii Nuntiandi, he warned us. John Paul II warned us about the gospel, the anti-gospel, the Christ and the antichrist. This is where we live. Don't be a one-talent Catholic. You wicked and lazy servant. I want to be in that place where Jesus says, well done, Terry. Well done, good and faithful servant. I live for that. We should all live for that. That's the calling. And it's a strong calling. This is discipleship. That's not now and then feel like it. Yo-yo. Infantile. Christians. Do you know in the natural, babies can only take maybe 2 ounces or 4 ounces of milk. Can't take a steak. So in the spiritual, it's the same. People who can't take strong words and strong meat of the word are babies. That's why months ago, remember, I taught believers that are babies and babies that are believers. It's okay for babies to be believers initially, but believers that years and years later are still babies, still hesitating. And my Bible says in Matthew 28, as he's ascending, some doubted. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus appeared to over 500 people during the time of his resurrection before he ascended. 500 people at one time see the physical resurrected Christ. They see his hands and his feet, and only 120 people turned up at Pentecost. They all got an invite. Where did the other 380 go? Fishing. Missing it. Totally missing it. You ever been in church when the preaching's great, the music's great, and the person beside you is looking at their nails? Or maybe looking at this. Totally missing it. Don't be a one-talent Catholic. That's why next Sunday we will be commissioning people to be disciples. Missionary disciples. And it breaks my heart to say that the majority of Catholics are do-nothing Catholics. They're do-nothing Catholics. Just get me in and get me out. No understanding of discipleship. And if you take them that wee bit further, they're all over the place. Hesitating. Don't hesitate. Please, don't hesitate. The Bible tells us before God just was to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels went in to the town and tried to rescue Lot and his family. And the Bible says they were hesitating, and the angels had to grab them by the sleeve and lead them out of the city. There's people in your life you're going to have to grab them by the sleeve. You're going to have to go get them. You're going to have to go wake them up. This is serious. This is heaven or hell that Ralph spoke about all weekend. This is the gospel. This is what the master said. Hesitating. And we had a great day yesterday. We talked through some stuff and people were being challenged. But people going, I have to step up to the mark. Yes, that's what it means. And it's okay for people in different journeys. If you're not there, we'll work with you. Come slowly. Get you some milk. Then a wee bit of solid food and then give you a bit of steak. Little by little. Yeah, we'll work with you. But we want missionary disciples. You've heard me saying before, Father Jerry rises up, we rise up. It's an all-rise event. This is an all-rise event. Deacon Larry Oney's coming in July. Deacon Larry Oney is part of Renewal Ministries. He's coming here in July. That's an all-rise event. It's not negotiable. All of us need to get this and understand the importance of the gospel. You get that Matthew 9 from me, please. Is that okay? Is it hard teaching? We need it. We need to get reality of what God is saying to us as disciples. This last year, we've had this place packed. We've had the upstairs packed. packed, remember one healing service with the choir, and there was standing room only. And just go away. People chasing the blessing. And this breaks my heart to say that. Many people chasing this and chasing that. Begin to help. Help us. Would you help us? Matthew 9. Could you read it for me?
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness.
Keep going. Is that it? The harvest is great. He goes on to say, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Where are the laborers? Where are the workers? That's what God, Jesus, is crying out all those 2,000 years ago. The harvest is massive, but where are the workers? Where are the disciples? Where are those who are going to say, yeah, I am going to step up to the mark? Comfortable, cozy Catholicism is never going to be accepted in this meeting. It's discipleship. It is reaching the lost. And we have a prophetic words time and time again. Peter gave us a prophetic word last week. He saw the power of God coming in this building. We had another prophetic word, that's the Archangel Michael above this very roof, bringing a sword of protection. And we have had so many battles and so much false accusations spoke against us to try and push us back. We don't want your gospel. We don't want this. It's too much for us. Leave us alone. This is at the ascension. They're still hesitating. Body and blood. This is too much. This is hard teaching. And you know, when you read John chapter 6, Jesus never ran after them. He never said, oh, by the way, I was just symbolic. I mean, I didn't. No. He turned to his apostles and says, do you also want to leave? And those famous words of Peter, where they say, to whom shall we go? You have the message of eternal life. Peter stood up. And Peter was all over the place. And they were all over the place for 3.5 years till Pentecost. And next week we talk about Pentecost. For Pentecost, for most parishes, it's just another Sunday. Oh, it's just words. It's not really power, baptism, the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, evangelizing, passion. No, it's just Pentecost Sunday. And we say these nice words and we say, let's go for dinner. And it's all over. These guys were transformed at Pentecost. 3.5 years, you heard me saying last week at the conference, 3.5 years, you couldn't get a better rabbi than Jesus to get teaching. Jesus discipled these boys knew their stuff, but yet they still needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They still needed the fire of the Holy Spirit in their life. And Jesus says, you wait till you receive power, and then you'll be my witnesses. And this is what Pentecost's all about next week. Power. Power to preach the gospel. This boldness. The Bible says with great boldness they preach the gospel. Where's the boldness in the church? Where is it? So many of our clergy are afraid. They're afraid to preach the gospel and stand for Christ. This is the word of God. This is the truth. People need to know the truth. The truth shall set you free, Jesus says. You shall know the truth. John 8:31, and the truth shall set you free. But it's the truth that you know that will set you free. It's the truth that you know that will set you free. Don't be a one-talent Catholic. Be a disciple. That's God's calling on you. And maybe you're watching. Maybe you're a one-talent Catholic. I'm hesitating. I'll just bury this. And there's so many gifts in this place. So many people anointed with such gift and charisma and anointing, and they get 2 or 3 people doing all the work all the time because we're looking at the watch, we have to come and go. And that's a lot of people where they are. One talent, Catholics. Do you know why they get rejected? They get rejected for doing nothing. That's serious. And I'd say, go back today and study Matthew 25. Jesus talks about the wise and the foolish virgins. He talks about the goats and the sheep. You know what goats are? They're stubborn, rebellious animals. And Jesus says, there'll come a time we'll separate the goats from the sheep. And many, many people in our church, in our Catholic church, are goats. They're stubborn, they're rebellious, and they won't go further and follow the master. And those that were rejected, the one talent guy, you wicked, you lazy servant. Those strong words. I remember being in Glasgow many years ago, and Mother Teresa, she was about that size. That was her gospel, Matthew 25. You did it to me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. You did it to me. That's all she did. That was her God. You did it to me. That's where we are as a church, as a people. And there's people in your life, there's family members, there's friends that need you to go and tell them about Jesus. You need to go tell them about Jesus and invite them to this place where they might hear the gospel. Last week, a woman was saved from taking her own life. Darkness all over her. Ready to take her life that day. And God just put his finger on her. How forensic is that? How good is our God? He knows every person in the congregation that can give a word of knowledge and say, listen, you're here, you're going to take your life. Please don't. And she's set free today. Got the sacrament of reconciliation with Father Jerry and was set free. That's power. That's the kind of life I want to live. My brothers were madmen. And they were fighting men. But when they came to the Lord, they couldn't realize how exciting it was to follow Jesus. Hang about with Jesus for a day. My goodness me. Lazarus, come forth. Let's get 5,000 fish suppers here, boys. What an adventure. Hanging about with Jesus. And reaching lost people and rescuing people. That's the gospel. But somehow we've kind of Americanized and Africanized and Europeanized and paganized and feminized the gospel. And people don't even really know what the gospel is. And we've feminized Jesus. The nice, gentle, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. That's false. That's a false Jesus. And the Apostle Paul warned us, you're going to create another Jesus that suits your morality. It suits your lifestyle. And many, many people are doing that. Hesitating. Hesitating. Don't be a one-talent Catholic. When Peter turned against the Lord, his heart was broken. He went back fishing. And a man without a vision will go back to his past. He went back to his past because he lost his vision. And Jesus comes looking for him. Peter, have you caught any fish? Throw your net out the other side. And John says, it's the master. It's the master. And Peter jumps out, runs ahead, and Jesus is cooking breakfast. Wouldn't that be great? Jesus is cooking breakfast for him. And this is where we miss it. And this is what I was trying to teach last week. If you really love Jesus, reach the lost. That's all he thinks about. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus was trying to more or less tell the Pharisees as well, Ezekiel 34, you shepherds, you've missed it. And God himself comes on earth to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the gospel. That's what God has called each and every one of us to do, to reach the lost. And I could preach on that passage in John 21 all day. There's layers and layers and layers of revelation in there. Peter, do you love me? And the Greek and what he said and all the different kinds of words for love. But really the essence is this. Peter, do you love me? Take care of my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs. That was the essence of that whole meeting. Do you love me more than these, Peter? Take care of my lambs. And he's saying the same to us. Don't hesitate. Don't be a one talent Catholic. Be a disciple. Do you know, Father Jay and I went to visit Michael yesterday, and I was so touched. We went to minister to him. And he took my hand and he kissed my hand and he kissed Father Jerry's hands. He ministered to us. A good, faithful, servant, disciple of Christ. Missing this meeting. That's what God is looking for. Is that you today? Maybe you have been a one talent Catholic. I was for a long time. I was just a one talent Catholic. Get me in, get me out, and get on with my life. Till I heard the gospel. This is serious. This is serious business. This is discipleship. Now it's time to take it up another level. And that's what we're saying to everybody. This is another level. This is not a goosebumps situation, as much as we love the goosebumps. Wasn't it great last week? Wasn't the conference and the music and the worship great? Wasn't it amazing? It was powerful. And we live for that, and we're going to have more and more of these conferences. But everything is to make his disciples, as Father Jerry preached beautifully to us, go, make, baptize, and teach. Four verbs. Go, make, baptize, and teach. Yet most of our parishes all over the world are in maintenance. There's no mission. There's no understanding of reaching the lost. And maybe if you're watching me today, and maybe you're here today, you know, there's something about we don't want to be convicted. This is too correctional. Who does he think he is? Are you actually reading your Bible? Every time I read my Bible, I get convicted. It's like a sword piercing my heart. Oh, I've never seen that one before. Oh, I better repent. I tell you, for me, all I can say from my point of view, when I was a young man, I just so desired to be corrected. Teach me. Show me where I can be a good husband, a good father, a good man of God. Show me, teach me. But there's something in our Catholic church today. We don't want correction. Oh, no, no, oh, no. Don't be correcting me. Just leave me alone. Let the gospel correct you. Laziness is synonymous with wickedness. As powerful words. Who did you bring with you? When you go to heaven, are you going to take somebody with you? Wouldn't it be great for Jesus to say, isn't that amazing? Well done. Look at all the people. Look at them all that you've brought with you. And all of us. Father Jerry says, there's a challenge. Bring one person next week. Bring one person, or three, as Father Jerry says. Just bring one person. Just like the angels in the city of Sodom, grab them by the sleeve. Get out of this town. We need to do that sometimes. You've heard me saying it so many times, send a taxi. Go pick them up. We've got 150 videos on WhatsApp, on YouTube. Send them a video. Listen to Father Jerry's homily. Listen to this teaching. Helen's teaching on fear has set so many people free. How many people still need to hear that message? As soon as I meet anybody, oh, I must send you this. Listen to this on fear. It'll change your life. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Amen. Many years ago, I studied under Derek Prince. I did 2 years in his Bible college. Some of you might not know Derek Prince, but he was an international Bible teacher, fabulous international. He crossed all denominations. He was speaking Catholic cathedrals, Pentecostal churches, Anglican churches, baptism of the Holy Spirit, deliverance, powerful ministry. I want you to watch this video and be convicted. Can we get that video of Derek Prince? Rejected by God for doing nothing. That's serious. I don't want to be rejected by God for doing nothing. Listen to this.
You might say, well, Brother Prince, I don't have many gifts. I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. You're in great danger. Do you know that? You take the parable of the talents. There were three kinds of people. The man who received five talents worked with them and made five more. He doubled. The man who received two talents worked with them and doubled. Their increase was 100%. But the person who received one talent didn't think it was worth bothering with. So he just hid it in the earth. And when the master came back to check, and he said, here's your talent, I was afraid of you, I hid it in the earth. You remember when the master said, you wicked and lazy servant. Do you realize that laziness is wickedness? And then he said, if you couldn't do anything with it yourself, you ought to have taken it to the bankers and deposited it and got interest on it. And then you'd have been able to give me my interest. And you know what he said? Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, it's the one talent person that's in the greatest danger. Because the attitude is, well, I don't have much. What can God expect of me? Well, let me suggest to you, if you don't have enough to run your own operation, put it in the bank. Invest in another ministry that is doing the job. See? Everybody can do something. You say, Brother Prince, what should I invest in? Well, there is a ministry called Derek Prince Ministries. We're not a large ministry, but we are, by the grace of God, totally committed to the reaping of the harvest. But suppose that isn't what you feel led to, let me just mention just a few. And I'm not paid by any of them. There's Youth with a Mission. A group of people mainly sold out to the vision of the harvest. There's Operation Mobilization, another group with a worldwide outreach, the same vision. There's Brother Andrew's Open Doors that aims to reach the unreached. There's Maranatha Ministries that aims to reach the students of the world, worldwide. And that's just a list of what, four or five. I'm not suggesting you should get involved in any, but you should not sit in church and do nothing. Because when the Lord comes, you're going to have to answer for that one talent. And it would be tragic if he were to say to some of you, cast him out into outer darkness. In Matthew 25, there are three pictures of people who were totally rejected from God. The foolish virgins, the unfaithful servant who didn't make use of his talent, and the goat nations who didn't show mercy to Jesus' brothers. And all of them were finally rejected from God's presence without an option. And you ask me, well, what was there in common? What did they all do that caused them to be rejected? And I can answer you in one word. Guess what the word is? Nothing. That's all you have to do to be rejected. It's nothing. Now, I didn't intend to speak like this, but I sense if I know the Holy Spirit, and I'm not laying claim to inerrancy, but if I sense the Holy Spirit, he's very much in earnest here tonight. He wants to get through, and I think particularly to churchgoers, that that's not where it's at. No, I believe that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I thank God for every church which takes care of God's people and looks after the sheep. But when you've gone to church on Sunday and sang the hymns and followed the prayers, you haven't discharged your duty. I believe personally, and I say this not out of emotion, but of intellectual conviction, I believe every Christian is responsible to be involved some way in reaping the harvest. I don't believe there should be a single Christian that isn't in some way involved in this glorious task of reaping the harvest. Jesus said, "The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few." What did he say next? Pray the Lord of the harvest to thrust forth laborers into the harvest. I like the word thrust. That is a very powerful word in Greek. It's the same word that's used when Jesus drove demons out of people. Pray the Holy Spirit to drive people into the harvest. Jesus knew what he was talking about. You don't saunter onto the harvest field. It's not something you do casually. It takes a push from the Holy Spirit. It means giving things up. You know, two idols of the modern church, security and comfort. They're idols that are worshipped every Sunday morning.
Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Idols of security and comfort. Wow. And I really believe this is the heart of God saying to everybody under my voice, don't be a one-talent Catholic. Don't be, I can't do anything Catholic. You can wash the dishes. You can help us at the door. You could be in hospitality. Can you sing? You should be singing. Don't be a do-nothing Catholic. That's the Master reaching out to all of us. That someday we meet him and he says, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And maybe you're here today and you've never, ever surrendered your life to Christ, and you've come here today and you've been invited here and you've been convicted and you think, I want this. I've been in and out and back and forward. I'm a yo-yo Catholic and it's time for me to make that step. I'm not going to hesitate any longer, Lord. I'm going to be a faithful servant. If that's you, let me see your hand. Just lift your hand up. God bless you. God bless. See the hands. God bless you. God bless. God bless. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless. Don't hesitate any longer. Do you know, I just sense, you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to kneel before the Lord right now. Would anybody like to come and join me here at the altar? And just let's just kneel. Can we sing? Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Yes.
I bend up today beside the pillar.
Yeah. Sword of the Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Let's stand and we'll sing this. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Then at the end of it, I'm going to drop to my knees. And maybe we should just repent and ask the Lord to use us and never to hesitate again, ever, or doubt. Amen? Amen. Let's sing it together. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And let it be your prayer. Let the word convict you. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Ask everybody that put their hands up, do you want to come and meet me at the altar? Those that put your hands up, come on, don't hesitate any longer. If you've been hesitating, this is the time. This is the time to break out and say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to take this seriously. I'm going to turn up. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Can you say this prayer with me? Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I come to your altar.
I come to your altar.
to dedicate my life to you.
I will not hesitate any longer.
I'm here because I love you.
I'm convicted by your word.
I want to be a disciple.
I want to go to the next stage,
Jesus. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Help me to become a disciple.
That I would follow you
all the days of my life.
Lord Jesus,
please keep me.
Keep me holy
and consecrated to you.
Lord Jesus,
I acknowledge you publicly
as the Lord of my life,
as King of my heart.
Lord Jesus,
my prayer today
is that when I meet you,
that you will say to me,
well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Lord Jesus,
I repent
for being lazy.
I repent
for not sharing your gospel.
Lord, would you strengthen me today?
Would you fill me with a holy boldness
to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord
wherever I go?
Lord Jesus,
I love you today.
I dedicate my life to you.
Let's sing this song together as a prayer. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am.
It's a beautiful prayer song, beautiful words. We sing it together.
Jesus,
all for Jesus,
all for Jesus,
all I am,
and never hope to be.
Thank you, Lord.
Your will that I am free.
afraid of the silence. Just let there be a time of silence. The Master is here. The Master is in our midst. Can we kneel? I'm going to kneel. Don't be afraid of this silence. Just let the Master move among us. Picture of Jesus is smiling. I just sense the Lord just smiling, a big smile across every person. He's smiling, looking at you, and he's saying, thank you. Thank you for not hesitating. Thank you for saying yes to discipleship. Yes, to go that bit further and be committed. This is the heart of Jesus. And we've made him happy. And blessed today. He's smiling upon every person here today. So thank God for that. I think we should sing How Great Is Our God.